Financial Empowerment, a production of the California Society of CPAs and CalCPA Institute. I'm Bill Spaniel. Many Americans dream of becoming a millionaire, and it isn't that difficult to turn that dream into a reality, providing you save and invest wisely. We asked Los Angeles CPA Greg Wind for some tips on how to become a member of the Millionaires Club. Hello, Greg. Welcome to Financial Empowerment.
Well, thanks, Bill. Great to be here with you.
Good to have you with us. Our subject today is how to be a millionaire. In other words, how to accumulate $1 million. Many people think that having $1 million is necessary before you can retire.
Well, you know, I'm thinking of Gwyneth Paltrow. I think about her a lot. No, I'm just kidding. Well, she uses the term conscious uncoupling when she got divorced from Chris Martin from Coldplay. So I'm gonna kind of use that same phrase. I'm going to call it conscious savings. And by that, I mean, maybe it's really good to have a written plan, or maybe it's really good to see somebody like a certified financial planner, pay a little bit of money, not a lot of money, but a little bit of money, get a plan together, because otherwise it just seems kind of iffy, maybe, hope to, instead of really committed to something. Now, I've heard all the stories about, well, if I skip my Starbucks every day and put that money in the bank, I'll be a millionaire. Probably not enough to make you a millionaire. Maybe enough to get a little bit of money in savings, but having a real plan. Here in Los Angeles, where we are, the median income is about $65,000. So half the people make more, half the people make less, but $65,000. If you could manage to live on 90% of your earnings and save like $6,000 a year, let's say, you can be a millionaire. It's not hard, but it does require a little bit of conscious thought and a little bit of discipline.
Well, you mentioned saving to become a millionaire, but can you really save your way to a million? Shouldn't you also invest? What combination is needed?
It is kind of like a crock pot, and you put the stuff in it, and there's variables, and the higher rate of return that you get, the less money you'll have to save to get to where you want to be. For most of us, we invest in the stock market by default. Now, last year, 2017, was a tremendous stock market year. Not every stock market year is like that. I mean, experts will tell you that over the course of time, maybe the last, 80 years, you can expect to see 9, 10% returns from the stock market if you stay the course. I would do something like 6%.
Making 6% off the money you invest, is that correct?
Off of the money you invest, like how much do I have to really put away to get that $1 million?
So what combination would you recommend for a 401k or an IRA?
Well, retirement savings is great because even though you're giving up some cash, you might also be lowering your tax liability if you're putting it into an IRA or 401k. Further, if you work for a company where your employer matches, that's terrific. That automatically jumpstarts your rate of return because your employer may say, well, we'll match 25 cents on a dollar, up to 6% of your salary. And, well, that's fabulous. That's a 25% return on your money, and you haven't even broken a sweat. And if you're investing in the stock market, you'll probably make a few points above that. So you could be making 30% on your money. My gosh, I do that all day long.
How early do you need to invest in order to accumulate $1 million?
You know, that's a great question. Obviously, the sooner, the better. In my example, if you make that median income, if you could put away $5,000 or $6,000 a year, and let's say you start at age 25, so you're a couple of years out of college, you kind of got your feet on the ground, and you did that for 40 years, you would have $1 million. You'd have about almost $1.2 million if you're making that 6%.
By the time you retire, is that what you mean?
By the age of 65. So if you put away $6,000 a year starting at age 25 for 40 years, at 6%, you'll have somewhere close to $1 million, too.
For 40 years, 40 years. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
What about entrepreneurs, people who work for themselves or start businesses? Do they have a better chance of making $1 million than people who work for an employer?
Well, I like to think of myself as one of those people because I've kind of had my own business for many, many years. So I would say that self-employed people, by and large, have to be better at budgeting because they're not getting a steady paycheck for the most part. So they have to be a little bit more careful with their money. And I think that they're a little bit more disciplined. Also, self-employed people seem to make their dollars stretch a little more because they do have a business. They have maybe avail themselves of of more write-offs than somebody who's just making a paycheck. So I think that the entrepreneur may have a little bit of an advantage.
I've often read that people who are married have a greater likelihood of accumulating $1 million than people who are not. What is your take on that?
That's interesting that you say that, because my personal rate of savings has increased since I got married. And I think it helps to have a partner. It helps to have somebody who has a vested interest in the savings. And obviously, if your spouse works and you have two incomes in one household, you have more money to save. And savers will always try to push their income up. They'll look for a better position. They'll get themselves better educated. They'll always want to make more money so that there's more funds available to save. If you're making $50,000 a year, it's hard to save $5,000 or $6,000. If you're making $100,000 a year, it's a little easier to save $5,000 or $6,000.
What about assets like your home or your car? Should you include those when estimating your wealth?
Oh, most certainly. That definitely comes into the mix. And here in California, we've seen pretty fabulous increases in real estate values over the years. So if you bought your house 20 or 30 years ago in a good part of Southern California, it's possible that you already have $1 million of home equity. So that is money that you can use someday. And if you're married, you get to exclude the first $500,000 of gain on the sale of your house. So most certainly that should come into the mix.
Do you think it is really necessary to be a millionaire when you retire?
This is such a wonderful question. I personally went to see a financial planner when I was younger. Not young, but younger, so in my 30s. And she says, so what would you like your life to be when you retire? You know, would you like to live in a small apartment and maybe eat at a quick service restaurant or fast food? Or would you like to have a nice bottle of wine and go out for a nice steak dinner, like to travel? I don't know. I probably don't want to eat quick service food and live in a small apartment. I want something a little better. And then she says, well, let's work backwards and figure out how much you need to support that lifestyle. And it became a puzzle. And I've actually followed that puzzle, and hopefully I'll get there. But the answer is we're all different. It depends on your expectations and your requirements. I mean, heaven forbid you have health issues that require more money, then that's a consideration. But it depends on the lifestyle that you want. Most financial planners will tell you that the pay down rate, in other words, the amount of money that you can take out of savings and not disturb your savings, is about 4% a year. So if you have $1 million, you can take out $40,000 a year and probably not disturb your principal. Why don't you want to disturb your principal? I don't know, maybe you have kids or a favorite charity that you want to leave your money to, or maybe you're just scared about running out of money, so you never want to disturb your principal. That's another discussion. Some people have no problem disturbing their principal. But let's say $40,000 a year, and let's say you were making $60,000, $70,000 when you were working, so maybe you'll get another $16,000, $17,000, $18,000 a year in Social Security. So is the $40,000 and the $18,000, $58,000 a year, is that enough for you to live on in retirement? That's kind of an individual question.
Any other advice you can give us on how to become a millionaire?
Have a vision. Have a vision. It's really not hard. It just requires a little bit of discipline. Sit down, even if you're not married, maybe sit down with somebody that you trust, a relative or a close friend who can help you and encourage you. And it's really a wonderful feeling to have some cash reserves behind you. And it's remarkable that only one out of every 20 people in this country actually has $1 million in savings. So you could become a member of a very elite club, by saving up that $1 million.
We thank Greg Wynn for his guidance regarding how to become a millionaire. We appreciate your listening to CalCPA's Financial Empowerment Program, which was produced in August 2018. If you would like to comment about our show, have a question for a CPA, or would like to suggest topics for future programs, write us at financialempowerment@calcpa.org or simply visit www.calcpa.org. You can search there for a California CPA who can help you save on taxes, better manage your investments, or budget for those rainy days even sunny California sometimes has. Just click on the Find a CPA link. This is Bill Spaniel, and you've been listening to Edition 209 of Financial Empowerment, a production of the California Society of CPAs and Cal CPA Institute.